You may be seated, everyone. Let's look to the Word of God together, please, for an abbreviated message. This is my short sermon for today as we look to Acts chapter 8 in our Bibles today. We are continuing with our third lesson in this Sunday morning series, examining the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the early church in the book of Acts. We started with Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, and we watched as the Holy Spirit came into that room like a mighty rushing wind. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they went out from that house to share the gospel with the city of Jerusalem. And 3,000 people came to faith in Christ on that first day. In our second lesson, we traveled a few days or a few weeks further into the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4. And we examined a prayer meeting in the life of the early church. The disciples, the apostles, had been persecuted and threatened because of their preaching of Jesus. And they stood strong and they determined they were going to pray and ask God for fresh courage and power to preach the word. And so they came together to pray. When they came together to pray, they lifted their voices to God in prayer. God heard. The house where they were meeting together was shaken by a mighty shaking. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and received fresh courage and power to continue doing the work of God. This morning we come to the third place in the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit is poured out upon new believers. It's Acts chapter 8. This is a strange story in some ways, but it's a great story about how the Lord responds to those who are hungry for His fresh touch upon their lives. Acts chapter 8 verse 1. And Saul was there at the stoning of Stephen, giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." They followed Simon because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon the sorcerer saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps He will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me." And when they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. And everybody said, amen. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're tracking this through the book of Acts, and we're looking at the priority placed on the receiving of the gift of the Holy Spirit by the New Testament church. We'll summarize with a few statements as far as where we've been thus far. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus ascended to heaven and instructed the disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus said, don't even leave the city until you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit and the church was launched in the power of God. In Acts chapter 3, a great miracle provided the opportunity for Peter to preach Jesus to the crowd at Jerusalem. And Peter began to preach, and a great number of additional people were added to the body of Christ there in Jerusalem. The number went from 3,000 to 5,000 in just a few days. And then in Acts chapters 4, 5, 6, and 7, great persecution arose and continued, but the church of the Lord Jesus marched forward. How many of you know this morning that when God is at work, the devil wants to work as well? But how many of you know also that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world? Could you say amen? God is greater than the devil. But the devil came against the New Testament church, but the church continued to march forward. And so as that persecution began to rise against the church at Jerusalem, the saints were scattered out beyond the city of Jerusalem. Scattered way out in the region of Judea, in the region of Samaria, all the way up north to Galilee. The believers began to scatter all over that part of the world as a result of the persecution of Christians at Jerusalem. Stephen had been stoned. As he gave testimony to Jesus, the religious leaders led in stoning Stephen for his faith. Saul, who would become the Apostle Paul, was supporting the stoning of Stephen. And as a result, the saints were scattered. They scattered all over the area, but the scattered saints were spreading the story. You know, when you blow a dandelion into the wind, the seeds just move out about and begin to plant themselves everywhere. Such was the case with the New Testament church. The devil thought he was driving them out in fear, but instead they were marching out in faith to do the work of God. Amen. Do you know that sometimes the enemy will work for evil, but what the enemy means for evil, God can turn it around and make it work for good. And so the early church, scattered by the persecution, began to preach the good news of Jesus everywhere they went. The scattered saints were spreading the story. And the story of the Savior was spreading. In fact, it spread all the way up to a town in the region of Samaria. If we were to have a map before us today, we could see Jerusalem down south in the Holy Land, and then we would move up northward into the region of Samaria. If we were to go further, we would get all the way up to the Sea of Galilee. That region of Samaria was important to Jesus. Jesus had won a lady to faith in Christ right there in Samaria. And Jesus had ministered to an entire city there in Samaria. Now, as the apostles are moving out, they move up north and they proclaim the Savior in Samaria. Philip was the leader of that revival. Philip had been chosen as one of the seven deacons in the early church, but he marched out to do the work of an evangelist. In fact, later in the book of Acts, he would be called Philip the Evangelist. How many of you know a deacon can become an evangelist? Could I have a better amen? And so there is Philip. He's preaching the gospel at Samaria. As he's preaching in that city in Samaria, many signs and wonders, supernatural works of God are being performed. Supernatural signs were performed there in the region of Samaria. And the Samaritans were persuaded by the preaching and the power of God. In fact, nearly the whole city came to faith in Christ. The Bible says there was great joy in that city as people were being healed of their sicknesses, as people were being freed from the power of the devil, as God's work was taking place. People were coming to faith in Christ, and there was great joy in that city. And in fact, they began to be baptized in water and proclaim to one another their newfound faith in Christ. A city in Samaria was turned upside down by the good news of Jesus Christ. And it was a great work. And in the midst of all that, even Simon the sorcerer, a magician, a man in Samaria who had deceived people for years, even Simon the sorcerer came to faith in Christ. Do you know that even the sinner can tell when the work of God is taking place? And Simon had been performing magic acts and deceiving the people as a sorcerer, but when he saw the work of God and the work of Jesus Christ, he gave his heart to Christ. At least he confessed his faith in Christ, and he was baptized in water. He believed in the Lord Jesus as well. What a great move of God in the city of Samaria. But God's work was not finished. Here we come to the next stage in the story, as the Holy Spirit now is supplied to the Samaritans. I mentioned that we're looking at the occasions in the book of Acts where God pours out his Holy Spirit upon new believers. Well, these are new believers at Samaria. Not only have they believed in Christ, but they've even been baptized in water. But there was one thing lacking. They had not yet received the gift of the Holy Spirit that God had promised to those who would ask him. And so the apostles at Jerusalem prioritized the receiving of the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about this. Philip went up there and preached the gospel to that city. Many of them were saved and baptized in water. News got back to Jerusalem, and the apostles at Jerusalem said, "We need to send somebody up there to pray for them that they might receive the power of the Holy Spirit." And the apostles Peter and John traveled up north to that town in Samaria with the message of the Holy Spirit. God wants to fill you with his power. You see, those people at Samaria, they were believers, but they needed more. They were blessed with the breaking of bondages, as many had been healed and delivered from the devil's power, but they needed more. They were even baptized in water, but they needed more. What did they need? They needed the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the apostles promoted receiving the Spirit to the Samaritans. The scripture says in verse 17, then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. I can almost see it in my mind as the apostles gather those new believers together and say, "You're going to receive a blessing today that's going to give you strength and power and boldness and courage." And I just can see it in my mind's eye as everybody lined up to be prayed over by Peter and John, the apostles. And the Bible says that when they prayed over them, they received the Holy Spirit. These new believers were ready. Let me ask you today, this morning, across the room, are you ready for whatever God has for you? Sometimes when a person is new in their faith in Christ, they don't know what the journey is going to look like. You know, when we first receive Jesus into our lives as our Savior, we know it's a new day. But we're not sure what the future ahead of us is going to look like. What's it going to look like as we follow Jesus? These new believers had been touched powerfully by God, but there was more from the Lord, and they were ready to receive whatever God had for them. I want to encourage everybody in the house this morning, don't be afraid of the good gifts of God. Get your heart ready. Get your heart open. Open up your heart and be ready to receive whatever God has for you. The gifts of God are good gifts. Peter and John said, "We want to pray over you because there's another gift from God for you new believers." And these new believers were ready and they were receptive and they received the Holy Spirit. Well, then comes a wrench into the story. We talked about Simon the sorcerer a little bit ago, and he's not finished in this story. The apostles pray over the believers. They receive the Holy Spirit. And Simon the sorcerer, strangely enough, says to Peter and John, holds out some cash or a bag of gold or whatever, and says, sell me this ability so that whenever I lay hands on somebody, they might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you know this morning those kinds of things are not for sale? He wanted spiritual power, and he wanted to buy it with money. And as Peter and John hear his request, they are mightily offended and turned off by that request, and they rebuke Simon the sorcerer. Simon was seeing something supernatural taking place here. As believers received the Holy Spirit, there was clear evidence that was visible and noticeable to Simon and to the onlookers. He was seeing that, and Simon was supposing the Spirit was sellable, but the truth is Simon was still secular and selfish and sinful. He was not yet where he should be with the Lord. How many of you, when you first gave your heart to Jesus, you were not yet perfect? Yeah. Anybody here, when you first came to faith in Christ, there was still a lot of work to do in your life? Of course. And Simon was a new believer here. We don't know. Simon was a new believer, and he was accustomed to the limelight. He was accustomed to magic tricks and sorcery. Perhaps he thought, I can add this, you know, new part to my show. He was still thinking in the flesh. He was thinking selfishly and sinfully. He had just recently come to Christ, to faith in Christ. He had just recently been baptized. And so he wanted to buy that, but the apostles rebuked him. And the scripture says Simon was sorry when he was scolded sternly by the apostle Peter. Peter said, your money perish with you because you thought the gift of God could be bought with money. No way, no way. And Simon the sorcerer said, well, pray for me that none of this that you have said will come upon me. Now, the scripture doesn't provide any more information about what happened to Simon. Church tradition has some things to say that are not so pleasant to hear. We don't know exactly what all happened, but the reality is that the power of the Holy Spirit came to the Samaritans, and though there was a little bit of confusion in the mix of it, how many of you know God knows how to straighten things out? Say amen. So here they are. They are new in their faith. They are newly baptized, and now they are filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with God's power, and that church in Samaria is ready to go, filled with the power of God. And as the apostles depart from Samaria, they preached throughout the region of Samaria on their way home. Verse 25, when they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Look up at me, everybody. Wouldn't it be awesome if Jefferson City was turned upside down by the power of God? Wouldn't that be wonderful? The answer is the power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit, who comes to change people from the inside out, to charge them with spiritual resource and power, and send them out to do the work of God. And so we close this morning with these simple truths. Number one, the gift of the Holy Spirit is a fiery filling for all believers. So let's read and research and respond. Look up at me, everybody, for just a moment. And think with me for a moment. Wouldn't it be a shame if you missed a wonderful gift from God simply because you were disinterested? or simply because you were a little bit nervous about what that gift might look like? Wouldn't it be a shame if God had a wonderful provision for you and you never received that because you never really asked the Lord for that gift? I encourage everybody in the house to know that the gift of the Holy Spirit that we see in the book of Acts is available to every Christian believer today, and it's available for the asking. Jesus said, the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. So I encourage you, don't be afraid, don't be nervous, don't be timid. For goodness sake, don't be disinterested in the good things of God. Press in and receive the good gifts of God. Could I have an amen? The gift of the Holy Spirit is for all believers. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Holy Spirit is alive today and working. Could you say amen? The Holy Spirit, number two, the gift of the Holy Spirit is furnished free to all believers. It can't be bought and sold. You don't have to give a certain amount of money to the church to be filled with the power of God. The gift of the Holy Spirit is free to every believer who will come to faith in Christ. So let's request and receive. I encourage everybody in the house today, if you've never experienced being baptized with the Holy Spirit and receiving that prayer language as an evidence, as the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit, I encourage everybody, ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And I encourage everybody who maybe has experienced that filling with the Spirit, let's stay fresh in the things of God. Would you say amen? That's our third lesson today. The gift of the Holy Spirit is for the fullness and freshness of all believers and bodies of believers. So let's rally and revive. Let's call upon the Holy Spirit. Let's be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's rise to a new level in the strength and the boldness of the Lord. Let's grab hold of everything God has for us. Let's be the people He's called us to be, and let's do what God has called us to do. And that'll happen by the power of the name of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.